following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Here's Studio A for episode number 275. A very odd moment has just occurred. Just as I recorded this, just as I pushed the button, this is actually take two. This is very rare for me. Usually I just do it on the first take, but I don't know. I just completely got, I had like a brain fart of some sort. These things happen when one sits here and does these things. You know, I've been in the broadcast business for a long time, about 35 years now. And you know, when you get into stuff like podcasting, which is still a term I'm not a big fan of, you find yourself in an odd position, because there's a lot of people out there that do this sort of thing. There's a lot of podcasters out there. My God, there's millions upon millions of them. And you know, there's, if you go to like the subreddit for podcasting, it's just, some of these people, they're just you can spot the rookies really, really quick. And it's funny too, because I've been criticized for it. I've been criticized. I did, like, man, you really don't put much editing in your thing. You just kind of phone it in. That's kind of what this really is. It's a stream of consciousness. I'm not like, you know, most shows where you got like three or four guys sitting around over a couple of beers and they're talking inside jokes amongst each other. Don't do that here. No, there's plenty of that elsewhere. Content is something that's critical, and people that listen to this program understand it. I tend to shine a light, or I tend to be critical of certain aspects of society, of which we'll get into a little bit later on in this program. But yeah, this is odd. This is take two. It's very rare. Out of 275 episodes, I think I've only done it like one other time. I was just going, and I just stopped. I don't know. It's one of those things, but nevertheless, coming up today, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the more, I don't know, an interesting part of show business that I find pretty fascinating. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. First, though, I wanted to tell you that as I often do before sitting down to record this, or at some point where I'm like, you know, what direction do I want to go in? I'll peruse social media and see what's out there in the minds of people in general. And of course, Facebook is just like the worst measuring stick of society. It really is, because between all of the political posts, as though you're going to be correcting someone's point of view about something, and the self-affirmation stuff, it's, you people are sick, man. The affirmation stuff is really, I just cruised through it, and I just one popped up here. When life puts you in tough situations, don't say why me, say try me. It sounds like whoever's, I'm not going to mention any names, but whoever put that up there is having that issue. They're not doing it to, you know, make you feel better about yourself. They're doing it to make themselves feel better about themselves. And in that, and all the old people that are talking about, you know, remembering the days of, you know, rotary dial telephones and cassette tapes, and oh, how we miss those days. No, you don't. You know, it's not about anything about that you miss. You just don't like technology now. That's your problem. That is really all your problem is. And I tell you something else that I see quite a bit of is the fascination, the absolute fascination of people with bacon. Really, I mean, bacon. It's the belly of the pig, salted cured meat. People lose their marbles over this whole thing. They go crazy for it. Quite frankly, you're losing your life over it too. It's really kind of one of the most unhealthy things you could eat, but I'm not here to judge. That's all you. But the issue of people going so crazy over it gets, it's like, okay, we get it. You like bacon. It's almost been elevated to the level of a deity. Same thing with coffee. Coffee's another one. Coffee's a big thing. I get that's a really kind of a global thing. If you go to places like Italy, for example, Naples, Naples is really big into their coffee, espresso primarily, which, by the way, I'll have you know, is coffee made under pressure. That's what that is. And in Naples, they drink it in sort of a shot glass. It takes about, I don't know, about a minute or so to brew, and it takes about that long to drink, and then you're out the door. And people will have a bunch of these throughout the day, and that's how they go. They like it, but it's part of the lifestyle. It's part of the connection that people have because they go to these places and have a quick cup of coffee and catch up for a moment, and then they move along about their day. Whereas here in the United States, coffee is looked at as this, I don't know. It's not coffee. You people here aren't drinking coffee. when you go to Starbucks and you get a cup of coffee, it's not, I mean, there may be something coffee-like in it. You know, there's the roasted black bean of the coffee plant that's in there. But there is so much added shit to it that it just doesn't taste like coffee anymore. And I'm not sure that everybody who really worships the idea of coffee is really worshiping that. They're worshiping the syrup, the incredible amount of, I mean, it's diabetes in a cup, for God's sake. Because I tell you, a cup of black coffee from Starbucks is some of the most bitter, vile crap I have ever had. And that's just my personal opinion. I'm not a big coffee guy. I'll drink it every once in a while down in the studio. We have a Keurig machine that's handy for us to make coffee. Just, you know, because I might just want a cup. And I don't want to have to brew a whole pot to get that. And I can get a consistent cup of coffee and be done with it. And I usually have that when I'm a little tired or, if it's cold outside, it's nice to have a cup of coffee, you know. But, you know, nevertheless, it's not. I don't see myself ever having been in a position where I should just sit here and observe it to the level of being worshipped to the level that it is, you know, coffee being what it is. And you see it all the time. People that go to the coffee shops and the Starbucks and all that, and they come out with it with the cup and they're carried around as if it's some sort of an accessory. And I think that's kind of what it is to them. It's an accessory. It's part of the lifestyle. And you're telling people, I just spent $9 on a cup of coffee. This is the kind of person that I am. Now show me the bacon sandwich. That's what it is. I've never understood that thing either, man. People will talk about making bacon in the kitchen and just gotta have this and gotta have that. And, I don't know, man. I think life's a little too short to be, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket, if you'll pardon the roundabout pun there, by having bacon all the damn time. Lighten up, will ya? It's just bacon. But it could be worse. There could be people that have you could have something, a complete fascination with Vienna sausages, and they're just as bad for you. Yeah. Thank God it's not that, because boy, howdy. Everybody be a redneck when that comes around. Right, we'll pause. We'll be back. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what is holding up, what is a problem in entertainment. Yeah, a little bit of showbiz talk, really. And it has to do with television shows and movies. And there's something that's in common with all of it that causes a very big problem with all of these types of media. It's the fact that they're so horribly written, they don't know what to do. And I'll explain to you here in just a bit. So stick around. It's coming up next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to MemphisBrewBus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Yeah, so one of the subreddits that I will often poke through just for amusement is the podcasting subreddit. And there was, as I mentioned it before, there was somebody that had made mention of the fact that if a show doesn't, referring to a podcast, if a show does not normally talk about Game of Thrones, then they should never talk about it, which is stupid to think like that. Relax. I'm not going to spoil anything for you in case, for those of you that haven't seen it or trying to catch up. It's impossible for me to spoil it for you because I've never seen an episode of it. It's just not really a thing that turns my crank. I have heard that this current season, season 8, which was an abbreviated season, the final season, they're wrapping it up. I think today, is the final episode of the entire thing. They're killing it, on this date, which is, Sunday, May 19, by the way. But what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing here is fairly indicative of a lot of things that I've seen in the industry. Perhaps you'll agree with me, perhaps you won't. That those who write the program, those who put it all together, put it out, create the scripts, create the stories, run the whole thing, have run themselves into a bit of a problem. They've painted themselves into a corner, from my understanding, because a lot of people now are really kind of put out about how this season has come together and how the end of this thing is coming to some sort of conclusion, whatever it may be. Like I said, I can't spoil it for you because I have never seen it. So, you know, you can relax there. But it seems to me that the Hollywood machine is still suffering from this disease of not being able to properly close out anything, any type of story. I've seen this in a million things. In a lot of, especially long serial episodic type of television shows, they do really, really well for a long time. And then when it comes time to, you know, stick a fork in it and make it go away and tidy it up and let it go, it's just I don't know, fall apart with it. It just doesn't happen. It kind of kills it. And that's the horrible thing about it. You can take a fantastic show and then take it all the way down to the end and then drop the ball. And it's bad TV. It's bad Hollywood. One thing that comes to mind is the Batman trilogy. I've talked about it before. That's the Christian Bale Batman. The first one is fantastic. The second one is quite good. And then the third one is it's like, what the hell? There were more plot holes in it than necessary. And it just, there was something here. They knew they were going to make three films. They knew they were going to have three separate stories. There was going to be all sorts of arcing of characters and all this wonderful stuff. And they knew that the third one was going to basically be the last one for that series. And that would be that. And then it was just dumb. There was too much to it that just and it kind of upset some people. Another one that comes to mind is the end of Seinfeld. What, 8 seasons of that show? So much had happened with it, and that final show, that final episode, was this. What the hell was that? And it's, you know, you're never going to please everybody. I get that. And that's probably part of it. There's the perception of that you have invested so much as a viewer or as a consumer of the show, so much into this whole thing that you want a proper, satisfying conclusion. Makes perfect sense, you know, for everybody, doesn't it? That this is what you want. And as I mentioned, trying to please everybody with like that is very, well, it's impossible. You just can't do it. Part of that is that you are expecting so many things to have occurred and that there's been a lot of foreshadowing, a lot of writing on the wall, if you will, some things that have been somewhat predicted that you think it's okay. We know this is going to happen, but it's a matter of knowing how and why and all that other stuff. And I think it's, you know, I'm not a writer in the business, but it would, it seems to me that if you're going to be doing this, if you've got this, it's the third act blues. If you've got everything going for you and you're trying to get out of the story, then the best thing you can possibly do is give the audience exactly what they're looking for. I mean, I know everybody likes a twist and they're like, there's twists that you can have before then, but you know, and here I am being critical of a show I've never seen, but that's neither here nor there. It's just that clearly this is what has gone on. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I haven't followed it too much. I do know that George R. R. Martin was the guy that created the Game of Thrones and the whole show that went behind it and wrote some tremendous material that went along with it. But if I understand this right, the 8th season had nothing to do with Mr. Martin. He wasn't involved in it. I think he said he was out of it by the, basically, I guess it was the 7th season. And he went on a different tangent and the people at HBO decided they were going to do something different and realized that they didn't have the chutzpah to make it happen, be that as it may. you know, these things happen like that. Soap operas are another, well, they're not really a, yeah, they are a good example of this because soap operas are engaging. They suck you in. When I was in college, I had a little television in my apartment. It was a little black and white TV. It was a tiny little thing. And I used to watch various shows, and I had some downtime in the middle of my day where I would go to my apartment and I would make a sandwich or do some studying or something, or watch a little television. And I got into General Hospital for a little while. And it seems silly, but it was one of those, I just happened to kick it on, and there was a moment of, I couldn't even tell you the scene, but there was some conversation that was occurring on the television there that kind of drew me in. And it was this little moment, pardon, there was this little moment of conflict that occurred between two characters, as happens in a soap opera, that had a beginning and a middle and basically a conclusion. There was a little bit of a hang on the end of that, you know, you knew what was about to happen. And then they cut to another scene, and that's how they keep you going. They keep you going and going and going and going. Shows like that have been on the air for generations. And they do that specifically. I mean, you're not missing anything. If you tune in now and you've never seen a soap opera, by the end of, say, an hour or two, you're going to be consumed by it. That's the mark of a good writer. And the beautiful thing is that these writers never have to worry about, you know, bringing everything to a satisfying conclusion. If there's a problem with a particular character they know they're going to be writing out, then they just make that happen. Plain and simple. There's no dancing around it. There's no setting it down very gently. There's no, hell, there's hardly any type of moment as to questioning why such a thing occurred. We know that it's coming, and it's a matter of it actually happening. And there's an old gag in soap operas that a lot of times you will see a character walk upstairs, like they're shooting in a scene in, like, say, a living room of a house, and it has a staircase that's going up to the second story of their home. And you'll see this character, you know, they're leaving the show. They go up those stairs, and that's the last you ever see them. I was made hip to that not too terribly long ago, probably about 10, 15 years ago, that's what it was. And it makes perfect sense. That was just sort of this inside joke. It's almost like the Wilhelm scream that he shows up everywhere. But there's this moment that, okay, it's time for this character to be done. They've satisfied the particular story plot. That whole thing has come to its natural conclusion. Instead of just dragging it out and beating it to death, the characters go their separate ways, and the one that's leaving the show is getting on the staircase and going upstairs, and that's it. You never see that person ever again. It's fascinating. But that's just it. It's the simplicity of that I think is lacking in today's productions. We don't need to have this massive buildup of everything that's supposed to come together at this perfect time, and it's this, we're going to wrap it up, and it's going to be this neat, tidy little bow on the end of it, and that's done, and it's over with. These things just don't happen like that. And when it comes to that, it becomes a little bit more difficult to figure it out, to pinpoint as to why we have to do this. The Sopranos is another prime example. That show was fantastic. The final episode, as incredible as that was, I'm not going to spoil it for you because I know there's people that may be venturing into it because it's an exercise in fantastic writing. But The Sopranos, part of the problem there with that final episode is that people got a little put out about it because it ended so abruptly and left you hanging. But that's what David Chase wanted. He wanted to leave you hanging, let you draw your own conclusions as to what had occurred there. You don't see that stuff anymore. So God forbid, I have no idea what's going to happen at the end of the Game of Thrones. I haven't seen a single episode, so I couldn't even surmise as to what it is. But it sounds like people are a little put out about it, especially to the point where people are demanding. This is so funny. They put a petition together. They're demanding that the season 8 be remade. Like they're going to do that. remember, the writers don't care about you, the viewer. They really don't. They care about satisfying the contract and the network and trying to gather as much as they can out of this whole thing to make it all worth everybody's while. So, you know, such as it is, right? And, you know, I've seen the same thing happen in stuff that you read online, because articles, you know, things like that, news stories. I'm a guy who spends a lot of time reading. I have to stay on top of a lot of things that's going on out there. And one of the things that I will see often, like on stories that are of human interest or special interest type of pieces, maybe a scientific piece, something that's kind of cool and groovy, that kind of thing, you know, and you're reading along and it's very well written, you know, very well put together. There's an open part of it, you know, a nice little setup there. And there's a, you know, and I'm not talking like a long read. I'm talking like a good, comfortable 5-minute read, you know, that kind of a story. And you're just cruising along. And when you get to the end of it, it just ends. There's like, what? There's no setup for a conclusion. It just happens. It ends. It's over. And you're left sitting there going, man, I feel so unsatisfied about all of that. My first experience with this phenomena in writing occurred when I read the book by Daniel Defoe, Robinson Crusoe, The Adventures of Robinson, or it's just Robinson Crusoe. And if you haven't read it, it's fantastic. It was written in the late 1600s, 1700s, somewhere in there. And it's a good read. It's long. It's not what you think. You have to throw out all the stuff that you'd seen in the movies. You have to throw all that out. And you have to take the story as it's written. And it's beautifully done. Fantastic story. And like I said, it's a long read. It took me a summer to get through it because, you know, you have to get used to the style of his writing. And, you know, here's the story of this guy. He's, you know, he's at sea. He winds up being, you know, shipwrecked. And he spends like 14 years on this island. And the bulk of the book is him going through that whole ordeal, if you will. And him, you know, meeting his guy Friday, you know, he was the native fellow from another island that found his way onto that deal. And they go through the process. Neither one of them speaks the other's language, but he winds up teaching Friday English by teaching him through the Bible and all this. And it's cool. It's fascinating. It's a great story. And then there's scenes in there of him getting sick because he ate some raw turtle egg or something. Any rate, I'm going to spoil it for you because it is, well, sort of a spoiler. He gets off the island, ultimately. He winds up going back to his home in England. But the way Defoe ended it was this, it was as if, you know, because you're holding a physical copy of the book, and you know, you've gone through like 700 pages, and you get down toward the end of it and you realize, okay, how's he going to wrap this up? Because there's only like 10 pages left here. So this has to be, I don't know, it has to be something remarkable that happens here at the end. And of course he's talking about how he has gone back to England at this point, and he's living his life in Birmingham or something that way, and it just ends. And it was as if it has, and he lived happily ever after, you know, after all of that. But there was none of that. You were I guess kind of expecting a reflective moment where this, you know, this ordeal of being on this island for all of these years and his, you know, what had happened to Friday and all that, you know, what all was supposed to transpire. And it didn't give you that conclusion. It was like as if you stopped at a stoplight and there it was. End of story. Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It was one of those things. And it's not like it was disappointing. I mean, a lot of people say, look, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I get that for writing. It's a lot of that. Same thing with shows. You enjoy them. They're consumed. You know, those of you that watch the Game of Thrones, you know, that really have enjoyed it, has always been about the moment of sitting there and enjoying those shows. It's that process for that hour-long show or however long it is, of what's happening and being into that moment. And then, you know, it's hopefully leaves you at the end of that episode with your desire to want more of it, which is really kind of what you'll want. And that's why I mentioned The Sopranos, because as they had written that final scene, they do ultimately want you leaving more, because we as a society want conclusion in everything. We don't want to be left to our own imagination, you know? I find that I don't know, I find that kind of unsatisfying, I guess, to a certain point. But and I do get, and to the writer's credit, I know, I understand that they have to find a way to wrap these stories up in a way that appeals to most people. But at the same time, just quitting at the end, which is the scourge that is going around all of entertainment, it's just, we're done. It's over, you know, such as it is, and that's the way that is. I can't imagine being like that, because I would have to go back, and, you know, because you know all these stories go through massive rewrites and rereads and rewrites again, and it's, you know, a dozen or more rewrites, and there has to be that question that these people, these writers and these producers are thinking, oh, this is good, or, well, you know, can't figure out how to get out of this, or we're just going to do this, you know. I think it's, remember the show Lost? I was another show I'd never seen, but it went through the same thing. That's all I ever heard about from people was, what the hell happened? And what I heard about that was the writers had gotten so far off of the main idea of the story that they literally got lost in their own story, and they had no way of tying it together and ending it, and it just fell apart. So, you know, before people get really critical of a show, a television show or a movie, you have to understand, of course, it's not the actors. It's not the actors' fault. They're just doing the lines that they've been paid to do and, you know, make the shows that they're supposed to be making. But it's ultimately the people you've never heard of. It's the writers that are sitting back there going, this is how we're going to do this. Oh, here's another show, another prime example, House of Cards. Well, of course, that thing went through a whole bizarre scenario with Kevin Spacey and his legal problems and him being kicked off the show and the rest of the cast deciding that they could continue this thing on for one more season. And I watched it. I watched every bit of it except the last season. I've saw maybe two or three episodes of it, and you could tell the writers were just grasping at straws. They were trying to find a way to get out of this damn show without it being so stinking miserable about the whole thing. And it's tough. It's very difficult to pull that off. But, you know, there was another version of that show that aired in Britain, I believe it was, when it first came out. And it ended at like season three, you know. That was really kind of how it was supposed to be. This went on for like season five. And they had their chance to get out of it, and they didn't. They kept dragging it on and dragging it on and dragging it on because people want that. You know, they do. They really do want to see that continue on forever and ever. And it just, you know, there's only so far you can go with it. You know, a good television show nowadays, a sitcom has what, an average lifespan of about 7 seasons, maybe 8 seasons. You know, a series of movies, maybe 3, maybe, you know. I know there's people going, well, what about the Avengers series? That's a whole different deal. There's a lot going on in that. There's so many characters, so many various stories and stuff like that. I've yet to see any of them. I'm not really kind of a fan of any of that, but I get it. Star Wars, to me, ended episode 6. 4, 5, and 6 are the big trio. That's my opinion. 1, 2, and 3 is kind of interesting to see how the characters, you know, came to be. And then 7 and 8 were just awful. Absolutely awful, but because they didn't have the Lucas touch to them. And you'd sit there and go, well, Lucas was crazy, man. He's, you know, he shit all over his legacy. Yeah, but it was still Uncle George, you know. There was a lot of free passes that were given on episodes 1, 2, and 3. They're not that bad when you go back and look at them. They're really, really not. There's some silliness to them, but I mean, it's a horse opera told in space. That's all it is. Yes, I said horse opera. You know what a horse opera is? A horse opera is a Western. That's what that is. And it's got, you know, plot, character, story, development, conclusion. So if you're a writer, if you're an aspiring writer, work on your closings, will you? Work on wrapping the thing up. Get that third act nice and tight. And give us a good, satisfying conclusion to everything you're doing. Because right now, y'all are sucking.
Experience the quality that lies nestled within the beautiful valley of the Wisconsin River in Mauston, Wisconsin. Home to the finest traditional taste and service, all you need to do is visit WisconsinRiverMeats.com to enjoy the old country flavor and style of specialty sausages, smoked meats, jerky, and their famous Landjagers. Listeners of Radio Memphis will receive $10 off their order by simply using Memphis as a coupon code. Wisconsin River Meats even supports our military, and orders placed by our troops will receive free treats from Wisconsin River Meats. No matter where you are, visit WisconsinRiverMeats.com right now and place your order, because they ship worldwide.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I love how people in Facebook will sit there and they'll tell you that, you know, they'll use the meme of Forrest Gump, and they'll sit there, and just like that, people stop talking about blah, whatever the case may be, because there's this whole thought, there's this whole notion out there that people don't have this ability to maintain more than one thought at a time. Well, and it may be true for some people out there, because I do know some troglodytes out there that can't figure out what they had, you know, for lunch or what they're going to do for the rest of the day. They're just trying to drag their knuckles in from one office to the next, trying to figure out how life is supposed to work. But they are capable of carrying on more than one thought at a time. When you look in the world of politics, for example, and they talk about diversion, and they go, well, this is just happening because they're diverting our thoughts away from this. Which is, it's a ridiculous notion to think, because, yeah, that may be happening, you know, in the present, and there may be something else happening down the way, and then there's something else that's happened that's propped up in the middle, but I can tell you, I can remember all three things at the same time.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. That's what's happening next time on the old program here from Radioland. I know I sat here in for the past half hour or so and talked about something I haven't seen before, which is fine, because I didn't talk about it like an expert, because I'm not. I'm certainly, you know, but I like the idea that I sat here and did exactly what people that on the podcast subreddit complain about all the time, when they sit there and they go, well, if you've never talked about Games of Thrones before, you shouldn't be talking about it now. Games of Thrones. Game of Thrones. It's a game. I can't even, that's how little I know about the damn thing. I understand there's a lot of violence and a lot of sex. Great. So did The Sopranos. They had a lot of that too. But be that as it may, I'm sort of proud of the fact that I was able to sit here and talk about it after having never talked about it at all on this program ever. And I don't know if I gave you any information that was even worth having. So, such as it is. Nevertheless, those are just my two cents on all that stuff. So, you know, so there. So until I got to go, I got to get out of here. I got things to do. Got a big show in the studio tonight. Theo Dasbach is on the air tonight on this Sunday night for the Booze and Blues. And he's actually going to bring out some tape of him doing a radio show in the Netherlands. It's in Dutch. I don't know how that's going to happen. I was asked to edit some of the stuff. I'm like, dude, I don't even speak that language. We'll see. It'll be an interesting night. Also, for those of you in Memphis, Monday night, Monday the 20th? Is that right? Yeah, Monday the 20th. I will be making an appearance at Lafayette's Music Room from 7 to 10 p.m. on stage with the Jack Ryle and the Royal Blues Band for the Big Blues Jam. I'll be up on stage doing some stuff up there. So if you want to come, it's a free show. Come on out and come see me. Lafayette's Music Room in Overton Square. That's 7 p.m. Central Time here in Memphis. So there you go. Yeah, that's a new little thing here for this program. Kind of hitting you to something. Of course, it depends on when you listen to this. If it's like Wednesday, you know, Wednesday the 22nd, then you've flat missed it. I got to go. We'll see you next time. Until then, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.